I made Micah cry. He thought I was laughing at him. I wasn't laughing at you. I was, you know, trying to carry the spirit of, hey. Sorry, bud. They did a great job. I want to go ahead and share this with you before we get in the Word this morning. Due to the content of the message today, if you are a parent and you have a small child, and I'm saying like under the age of, I don't know, let's say the sixth grade or the fifth grade. If you've got a small child and you don't want them to know about or hear about adultery and sex, I would suggest that you let them go to children's church, okay? Let them go to children's church. Miss Jenny's already made preparations for them, all right? I'm not going to be blamed for your child hearing something that their little ears aren't ready to hear, all right? So it's good. It's perfect. It's fine. I'm not going to be graphic, not going to be anything like that, but I'm going to be honest and straightforward with you today from the Word of God. So if you have a small child that you don't mind sending, go ahead and send them. Trying to be respectful of that today. Listen, folks, I really want to, I preached the message today with a very humble and broken spirit because this is a very sensitive matter, and there's really no right time to preach a message like this, okay? I want you to know, first off, I want to thank the Lord and praise the Lord for Stephen Adams and the work that he did to put together that presentation. It was great. And I also want to praise God for our veterans, our servicemen and women who have fought for our freedom. You know, something that needs to be shared today is that these men and women fought for a country that they love. And it was a battle worth fighting. Your freedom was worth fighting for. Their country was worth fighting for. And something that we're going to be looking into the Word of God today deals with warfare as well. And it's probably the greatest stealth attack in the spiritual sense that we could ever have. And that's the attack that the enemy has on the home and on families and on marriages. This is not really an easy subject, you know, to address. But once again, I don't want to hold anything back from you. It's a very prevalent subject in the day in which we live. And I've tried my best to ignore it for quite some time as we've been going through a series on black and white, but now it's time to finish up the series on black and white. We've got to get through the Ten Commandments, and we've got 3 weeks just to do that today. And so today we're going to be addressing the subject about adultery. And, you know, it seems as though everywhere you look, within homes, marriages are failing and falling apart. And there seems to be very little resolve offered from the world to broken families or even within the church to see that marriages are restored, that families are strengthened and supported. Because the truth is that our enemy is brutally attacking the home at the core. All right. And it's a stealth attack by him and launched on our church and launched on our families and launched on believers in Jesus Christ. But our question is, do we ignore the issue and just kind of sweep it under the rug and act like it doesn't exist? Or do we address the issue with the Word of God and we seek to bring resolve through it through the power of God? We live in a culture, folks, that is obsessed with sex. Okay, think about this. You have fornication, which is sex before marriage or sexual activity before marriage. You have outside of marriage, which would be adultery, and in perverse forms, as you see in our culture, that have really taken off. I mean, and taken a lot of support. Today you have folks that claim to be homosexuals. Today you have folks that claim to be bisexuals, and there's this transgender and transvestite movement that's taken place. You see it advertised all the time in modern television shows. You see it pushed down your throat in music and in film. You see it displayed on just out for everybody to see in the American celebrity. And as a matter of fact, perverse sex has become the addiction or the drug of addiction of choice in our society. And many are falling prey to it. Many families are falling apart. And indeed, sexuality is a gray area in our culture. and in our world. And I've read statistics, folks, a number of statistics on the matter, and I don't doubt any of them. I just believe that this issue is even greater than what's reported among us. And so here's the thing. If you today come in with spiritual blinders on and you say that this is not an issue in our society, and this is not an issue within the church, and this is not an issue among Christian men and women in marriages, you need to think again, because it's a major issue. All right. How many marriages, and you just think about this, how many marriages have you seen dissolve over the issue of adultery? How many friends do you have that struggle with pornography and lust? And think about the family members that you have that may be living, or friends that you have that may be living in premarital sin and sex. I believe in the midst of those questions, somebody came to your mind. Maybe even yourself. This is a major issue in our culture, and we don't need to skip over it. And the Bible is very clear about how God feels about it. And it was such a significant issue in the day of Moses that God made it the seventh commandment. All right? And later, he pushed it in the tenth commandment when he said, you shouldn't covet your neighbor's wife. God emphatically said to this sin, and you're looking at Exodus 20, verse 14. Go ahead and turn there. Exodus 20, verse 14. I want you to see this today, all right? Because this is an issue that we cannot ignore. If we're going to go through the whole Word of God, we're going to go through the whole Word of God. Amen? All right? So Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, God said, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit adultery. I've heard this said this way, you know, another way of putting it. That this commandment in today's terms means you need to keep sex sacred. That's what it means. I don't think it's a mistake, folks, that God put this commandment where he did. If you look at the first four commandments, all right, here in Exodus chapter 20, the first four deal with your relationship with God. It deals with your commitment to God. It deals with your faithfulness to God. It has to do with your love to God, your obedience to God. But then if you look at the fifth through the tenth commandments, they deal with how we're supposed to love our neighbors and treat our neighbors. In the sixth commandment, Moses said that we're not to commit murder. That means that we should value human life in every regard. And so we talked about that. We preached on that. We discussed that God indeed values human life. He does not enjoy, he does not want, he does not desire for us to murder in any way. And so in here in verse 14, God says that we should not commit adultery, meaning that we should value marriage and relationships. So he goes from value life, and then he goes to the next important thing. Value your marriage and relationships. Murder is death to life. Adultery is death to marriage. And I know what the temptation is today. Many of you are wishing you would have went to a different church this morning and would have heard a different message. And you know, you might be thinking, you know, we probably could skip over this issue because I don't have to fear this. I don't go through this. I would never fall into this sin. Or my spouse and I, we're committed to one another and we have an ideal marriage. Or maybe you're thinking, I'm too old to commit adultery. All right? I want you to think again. Because I'm not questioning your commitment to your spouse today. And I'm not questioning your faithfulness. And I'm certainly not wanting you to doubt your spouse. But what I'm saying today is you need to be very prayerful about this matter because it is at large in the church. You need to be very careful in this matter because Satan has launched a war on the family. And that it can happen to anybody. It can happen to anybody who's not protective, anyone that's not safeguarding their home, anyone that's not walking with the armor of God on in the Spirit of God. It can happen. The sin of adultery is an attack on purity. On holiness. The sin of adultery is an attack on the church. The sin of adultery is an attack on God's cherished picture of Christ's devotion and love for his bride. And the way that he shows that to the world is through the gift called marriage. All right? It's a temptation and attack on you too, personally. It's a subtle and slow attack, though. I want you to keep that in mind. Satan attacks slowly and subtly. It's the kind that creeps into your life. It's like looking for a hole, a crack, a small window, a place to get his foot in and be rest assured today. It's deadly if you don't guard against it. The reality is that Christians commit adultery too. While they shouldn't, they do. And so it's with a humble spirit today, I want to preach to you this message, because I preach this with the realization and the sensitivity that maybe there's a family or two or three or four or many more in this room that have been impacted by this in some way. And so what may happen today is you may be brought back to, you know, some memories, some hurtful memories. It may bring back into full frame maybe the present reality of your life. But the goal of this sermon is not to discourage you. The goal of this sermon is to encourage you. The goal of this sermon is to bring you hope and to show you in the Word of God that God's not finished with your marriage. God's not finished with your relationship with Him. God wants you to thrive. And God wants you to know what you can do to prevent the adultery coming into your home. So we've seen in Exodus 20 verse 14. I want you now to turn over to Matthew chapter 5. I want you to hear what Jesus also said about the subject matter. Matthew 5, look at verses 27 through 30. Matthew 5, 27 through 30. Jesus said that you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. There you have it, Exodus 20:14. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. I want to give you a few things today, this morning. I'm going to try my best to work through what I have in this message on you shall not commit adultery. The first is this: you need to see and understand the definition of adultery. The word says, you shall not commit adultery. Now, what is that? What is adultery? Technically speaking, adultery is sex involving at least one married person with someone who isn't married or who is married with another person. I know you didn't need me to tell you that today, but just wanted to make sure that we're clear. That's what it is technically. But in a broader sense, in God's Word, scripturally speaking, it also meant that it was not just the act of sex, but any kind of sexual violation or trespass made between a married person and an unmarried person, or married person belonging to another spouse. If you look in Leviticus chapter 18, the Bible groups adultery in with a group of sexual sins, okay? Same thing. He says adultery is just as painful, just as harmful, just as deadly as homosexuality, as bestiality, and as incest. He puts them all in the same light. He puts them all in the same group. So for those of you today who have like a homophobic attitude and you think that you should hate or condemn those who live in homosexual sin, you do realize that God speaks just as strongly and just as hatefully towards those who live in adultery. He puts them together. And I'm in no way today, you know, defending those who live in that way. I'm just saying, in Baptist circles, we only have a problem with those who live in that kind of sin. So we've seen the definition of adultery. That's black and white. Let's move on, shall we? Let's talk about next. The depravity. When I say the depravity, I mean the immorality and the sin that's in adultery. It's the second thing. Here's what I want you to get today. If you don't hear anything else, you heard it from the Word. Adultery is sin. Can you say that with me? Adultery is sin. You've heard it now. It's sin in any form. It's sin. It violates the law of God. It violates the sacred bond of marriage. It breaks down the foundation of the home. It breaks down the foundation of the family. And the most important is this: it breaks the heart of God. Let's see that. It breaks the heart of God and the fellowship and the communion that God desires with His children. It is sin. Here's the truth, folks, and you heard it from me today. Here's the truth. God is the creator of sex. Yes, I said that. Because He is. You didn't come up with it. I didn't come up with it. Science didn't come up with it. Adam and Eve didn't come up with it. God came up with it. He's the creator of sex. And when in fact he saw fit to give man a woman, praise the Lord, right? This union, he gave it to them in the confines, in the boundaries of marriage. He gave it to them in the union, the relationship of marriage. If you have questions about that, that God's the creator of sex, or that God desires for it to be within a marriage relationship, take a look at Genesis 2:24. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 6:16. Take a look at Hebrews 13:4. Here's the truth though. Adultery damages and twists what a marriage ought to be. What a relationship in Christ ought to look like. So for those of you needing to hear this today, adultery of any kind, whether it's physical adultery, whether it's emotional adultery, whether it's verbal adultery, whether it's mental adultery with someone else's wife or daughter or husband or son, whether it be in a fantasy sense, that means through the evil and destructive powers of the enemy, through the internet or television or movie screen or a magazine, you need to know and realize it's sin. Period. It's sin. God's standard, God's word says that there is to be no sex outside of marriage. Period. Now I know that's not popular in our culture today, and I feel it for our youth who are being told, be with who you want to be and do what you want to do. The culture's not going to agree with you on this, folks. Alright, your family may not agree with you on this. Your friends may laugh at you. Your coworkers may mock you. Hey, your spouse may have a differing opinion, but then again, you shouldn't care about public opinion. You shouldn't give any regard to what they have to say versus what God has already said. And I just got this question asked. Since when did the sinful world ever agree or comply with the Word of God? Since when did that ever happen? God's word tells us that sex belongs in the boundary of marriage. Why? Because sex was designed to affirm, to confirm, to establish, to inaugurate the marriage vow and covenant between a man and a woman. Covenants are a pretty serious deal, folks. Pretty serious deal in the Bible. A covenant is an agreement. A covenant is a vow. A covenant is an unbreakable agreement or vow between a man and a woman in the terms of marriage. But in the Bible, a covenant was an unbreakable agreement between one person and another. But it's not just any agreement. It's a solemn vow before the Lord and between Him and you and your spouse. And may I add that God takes covenants pretty seriously. Wouldn't you say that? Actually, very serious. As a matter of fact, He's never broken a covenant that He made with us. We've all always been the ones to break the covenant with Him. All right. So with marriage in mind, and a man and a woman in mind, when they make a vow to be married, they are making a covenant with God, a vow with God to be your spouse's partner, to be your spouse's provider, their lover, their helpmate, their spiritual anchor, support, confidant, and stability throughout the rest of your life on this earth. This vow was meant for three individuals. It mattered to God, it mattered to you, and it mattered to your spouse. Nobody else is allowed in that covenant. This vow was meant for those three individuals. That covenant was made. It was signed, sealed, delivered. Oh yeah. It was bound to you and your spouse. Now listen, a covenant marriage is not a contract. I don't want you to look at it as a contract. A covenant is willingly made. A covenant was not meant to be broken. When a wife and a husband, or when an individual tries to get involved and interfere with that covenant, you need to fight. You need to know that it is not of the Lord, that it is not right, that it is sin, that it must be confronted and treated as such. The problem is that it's not handled that way in our culture or even within our church. In every case of adultery, it is always welcomed. But a married spouse, a husband and wife, should say to adultery, you are not welcome. This is not for you. The covenant is compromised when adultery takes place, which means the promise and the vow that was made to the Lord, that was broken. The covenant that was made between you and your spouse, that's now been broken. And regardless of how it happened, I don't care whose fault it was, we need to know today, it was and is sinful. We need to acknowledge that today. It's sinful. So this is the warning. This is the warning to every husband, or every husband-to-be in this room. That puts everybody in the same boat, young and old alike. That woman that you may look at lustfully on the TV or at the computer or in the magazines or at the store or at the park or at your child's school, that very well could be somebody else's wife. Or that very well could be someone's wife in the future. Okay, do not commit adultery. It's a sin. To the husband who is in the middle of an affair, doesn't matter what kind of affair it is, whether it's physical or emotional or verbal, it's an affair. I don't care if that woman makes you feel like a stronger man. I don't care if she affirms you as a man. I don't care if she tells you the things that you may not hear from your wife. And I don't care if she gives you the things that your wife may not be giving to you. It's wrong. It's sinful. And it's covenant breaking. And this is what I want to get to too. To the young man who is waiting for a spouse or who is waiting for a relationship, I know that this message deals with adultery, which also means it deals with married people. But to the young man who has a young girlfriend, she will be somebody's wife. And there's a good chance that she may never be your wife. I want to politely say this today. Keep your hands off of her. I want to politely tell you to respect that young lady as a woman of God, as a child of God, a beautiful and cherished prize of the Lord, a daughter of the King. So treat her as such. And if she has a father of any count, I pity you if you try to violate that covenant. Okay? Speak to her as such. And don't you dare fall into the temptation of causing her to sin or yourself to sin in any manner. Honor the covenant that you're going to make one day with your future spouse. Don't violate that. Don't violate that. Don't compromise that. Sex is sacred. Sacred for the marriage. Our bodies belong to the Lord. They're owned by God. Your body is a temple of the Lord. Flee from sexual immorality, the Word of God says. Stay away from sex until you're married. Don't compromise the covenant of marriage in trying to satisfy lustful desires. I'm so glad this half is almost over. Whew. And this is the warning from God's Word to the woman who is a wife or who is a wife to be. Because it applies to you too. Those men that you look at lustfully, whether it be on a computer or TV or in a romance novel, whether you see them at work or school or at the gym or the grocery store or even in the church, that very well could be somebody's husband too. Or it could be somebody's future husband. Do not commit adultery. And to the wife who is in the middle of an affair, again, it doesn't matter the kind of affair. I don't care how nice that man is to you. I don't care how sweet he may be or how he may affirm you or lift you up or even physically provide you with what you think you need. It's wrong. It's sinful. It's adultery. And so now I want to point to the young lady too, to the young woman who is waiting on a spouse, who is waiting on a husband, who is waiting on the best that God has for her life. He will be someone's husband one day if you're dating a young man. He will be, and he may be yours, maybe not. But as I said to the young men, I say to the young ladies, don't let him touch you in an inappropriate manner. Don't let him lord over your mind and your body and you cave in by doing what he thinks you ought to do for him. That's selfish, that's sinful, and it's wrong. Your body belongs to the Lord God Almighty. Your body's a temple to the Lord. Your purity is a tribute to holiness. Therefore, as we've read in the Word, honor God with your body. And that, ladies, this hits home for y'all. That also goes in the way you dress, too. Ladies, don't cause a man to stumble and sin by the way that you dress. I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care how fashionable it may be. I don't care if it gets others' eyes or attention. Don't you dare be a stumbling block to my church. Okay? We don't need that. That ain't right. Okay, ladies, maybe you need to hear what was taught to us when we were in school. Raise your hands and touch your toes. If it shows any skin, go change your clothes. I'll fight for me on that one. Be careful. Be careful. We don't want anybody to stumble or fall in the body of Christ, do we? That man that you may be involved with or lust after is a son of God, a child of the King, a mighty warrior. We need to treat them as such, speak to them as such. Don't cause them to fall. Now, this needs to be said. Sex is not wrong. You got that? Sex is not wrong. Sex is not something that you're supposed to be afraid of either. See, as a child, that's what I was taught as a youth. Sex was bad. Sex was horrible. It's not. God created it. God doesn't make bad things. God doesn't make horrible things. God doesn't. Sex is a gift from God, but it's a gift designed for the marriage. It's a gift designed before, and when it's used outside of that context, it's sin and any sexual activity, because I'll tell you what happens. Here's what we're going to end off today. I'll tell you what happens if His word isn't obeyed. Tonight we're going to talk about the destruction, okay, of adultery. But here's just a snippet of what happens. Broken marriages do happen. Divorce does happen. Broken families do happen. Sexual addiction or perversion or abuse and rape, confusion. That's why we have so many confused people today. That's why we have homosexuals and gender confusion, okay? Sexual disease leads to death, undesired pregnancies, abortions. There's loads of regret. There's loads of shame and guilt. All of which, keep this in mind, all of which is 100% preventable. 100% avoidable if we would just obey the Word of God. If we would just look into the boundaries of His Word, if we would just honor God and trust God with our bodies, if we would just trust the Word of the Lord, embrace His protection, embrace His boundaries, if we would just see how precious of a gift marriage is and how precious of a thing marriage is, if we would just be willing to wait for God's best for our lives, whomever that may be, young person, and to the married couples, if we would just stay faithful. Stay close, stay clean, stay committed to the Lord together, you won't have to experience any of that devastation. It's all avoidable. It's all preventable. Adultery, infidelity in any form is sinful. God's word speaks loud to this. It's in black and white. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who perform, who submit to, nor perform homosexual acts will inherit the kingdom of God. Leviticus 18:20 says, moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her. Matthew 5, we've read this today, 27 through 28, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that any man who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And then Exodus 20, verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. You've seen the definition of adultery. You see the depravity in adultery. And now, if you love me at all, if you love the Lord at all, if you love His Word enough, you'll come back tonight. We'll finish this message. Can you agree to that? There's some things we can do to defend. There's some things we can do in the Word to protect, to pray for our marriages. But that's where I'm going to stop today. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? I know this is not your typical Sunday morning message, but this is where we are. I believe in our culture and our society. This is where the enemy has us at large. He wants to break in, steal, kill, destroy what you have in your home. And he does it in the most subtle ways. And so if there's anything that should be done today in this invitation time, if anything should be done, it's that husbands-to-be, wives-to-be, pray, seek the Lord, who will be your defense, your help, pray against the enemy's ways, pray against his tactics, pray against his plan to destroy your home, your foundation, everything that you've achieved or you have through the power of God. He wants to destroy that. We need to pray over our families today. I also acknowledge this morning that there may be someone in the room or more in the room who doesn't understand this issue because they don't understand the God who gave the issue, who gave the commandment. I want you to know today that everything in God's word was meant for our good and for his glory. And if he said for us not to do something, it's because he loves you, he's trying to protect you, he's trying to help you, and he's trying to help you to see just how good and how holy he wants you to be in a relationship with him. This is not just about adultery, folks. This is not just about purity, folks. This is about holiness. This is about reflecting to the world what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And to be honest, it's hard in our culture to tell the difference, because so many Christians fall prey to this sin in particular. It's hard to see the difference. I want it to be evident. I hope you want it to be evident in your life and in your heart that I'm walking with Jesus in every manner, in every way. And so maybe this morning there's someone who wants to commit their life to Jesus Christ afresh new. This ain't got a thing to do with adultery. This has a thing to do with obedience, with giving your life to Christ, committing yourself to Christ. If you have sin in your life, he'll forgive it. If you need a fresh start, he'll give it. He'll get you going. If you want the promise of heaven and eternal life in him, he'll grant it. So maybe there's a soul in the room or more who's never given their heart to Jesus. You'll understand this commandment and everything else in the Bible a lot better and a lot more clearly with a relationship with Christ. I also want to pray today for our young people too, our youth. This isn't easy, this thing called purity. And they're being attacked with it heavily, heavily, more and more each day. And I want to pray for our youth and our students that they would give their whole lives to Christ, and that they would settle for nothing less than what God has for them, even in the relationships. I want to pray today too, as we close out, that if there's any unconfessed sin in your life, if there is an adulterer in the room, if there is a woman or a man who's in the midst of an affair or that's in the midst of an adultery, where it says to repent, we need to be cleansed and changed. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can do that today. So there's much to pray for this morning. Much to pray for. I'm going to ask Bert if he would just to play a moment here. And you know what? If you respond today to the message, it has nothing to do with the message itself. Maybe God's dealing with your heart about something other than the subject that we talked about today. I just want to give you a chance to be obedient. So if there's something you need to give to God or deal with God about, or you need to let God deal with you about, you just be obedient today. But let's be very prayerful this morning. Let's be responsive to the gospel in Jesus' name. You come if you need to. You respond if you need to.